All right. Let us move to the last stanza of our more than 5 years of ministering from the document. Take out the document. Volume 1. Everyone repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. From manifestation in time. Elbert Nickerson is our designated reader. I want you to open the manual and in it, first page there, we note our base dissertation scripture is Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And remember, we labored there for quite some time. And so let's turn there as we give the epilogue. And today is our intention to just basically give the epilogue of the entire document. Amen. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, everyone turn to it. I might say for those that are watching via our webcast, this entire document is found on our website. Go into the audio section. There's an icon there which you click on. It will direct you to this document. Again, volume 1. Some 151 pages. And volume 2 will be available in probably sometimes next year. It will be available on the website. But volume 1, as you maybe can go through the array of messages. Today is the 102nd message in conveying scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. And for those who have were written and called and inquired, again, go to our website, www.gracegospelministry.com.org. Go into the audio section there, the link, and right at the top of the page, you will see both the icon for the webcast, but also the icon there for this document. And you can either print it, or if you write us, we will send the document to you free of charge. All right. Let us turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Now, what we have done is we have, from the scriptures, we have drawn a line of distinction between that which is real and that which is in manifestation or testimony. What we experience from day to day is testimony of God in measures depicting or showing all that he has done by decree. By decree we mean that which he has conveyed. I want you to turn to the second page. You see we have a glossary of definitions there. Now we have utilized terminology and hopefully you are familiar with this terminology by now. It's very important. Very important. Things are happening. Things are going on in our lives. Many of us are unhappy. Many of us walk in fear and doubt. And our lives are unsettled simply because of the lack of understanding. Our aim and our goal in this delivery of documentation to you is to bring us into comprehension and understanding. The more you understand, the less you fear. The less you understand, the more you fear. The more you understand, the happier you are. The less you understand, the unhappier you are. Apostle Paul, in one occasion, he writes and he said, I have learned to be content in whatsoever state I'm found. This came through understanding. As you know, Paul went through some pretty rugged things. Amen. His life was not an easy one, but his life was one of joy. Mm-hmm. Even as he sat in prison, he wrote three of his most, I would say, outstanding epistles, letters he wrote from prison, Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians.
Yeah.
Yes, when he was talking about rejoice, and again I said rejoice, he was in prison. Amen. And what God did for him is he gave him a revelation of the mystery. That's the volume of truth that was hid from the ages and revealed to him for the church, for us. Amen. There's information that is available to us that will make our lives enriched and happy instead of a drag. It would cause us to see things from the vertical, heavenly, eternal view rather than the earthly view of walking through the maze of all the things that are around us. And so the object is to look down on life instead of around in life. I'm going to say that again. The object of this comprehension is to look down on life rather than around in life. You get a better view of all that is transpiring around you. And so we have terminology such as actualization, that which is the fact, action, that which is embedded in the factuality of a thing. That is in the thing of God. Remember, he dealt with the scripture. It is basically telling us that God created all things in the same. And we're going to go to Colossians in a minute. And when we say create, we're not talking about going back to Genesis chapter 1. That is manifestation. That is materialization. Mm-hmm. That is things, objects coming into view that we can understand.
Right.
The world was not created in 7 days. Amen. The world was created in God's decree in one saying. And remember, we went to, and for those that are watching, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And so it is the saying. We have the Greek word there, rhematos. It is singular. God created in one saying. Now, he has manifested it in many manifestations. And in Genesis, the world, amen, is depicted of the world is revealed in relationship to the earth in 7 days of manifestation, on the first day, the second day, third day. The other thing we shall deal with is the essence of God is timeless.
Yes.
We're locked into a certain day at a certain hour, but God created time.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 1, I think it is verse 2, He created the ages. And so He created the ages for the purpose of showing and revealing and manifesting what He has done to finite creatures. Such as we are. Amen. But God is not locked into day, and this is why Peter could say a day with the Lord is what? 1,000 years and 1,000 years as the day. Amen. God is timeless. And we shall, in the fall, we shall deal with the matrix and the measuring, the metering out of the many acts of God that is in one decree.
Yes.
Amen. And so when we talk about that actualization, we are speaking about that which is in God's decree. Mm-hmm. Another terminology we have used is time capsule. Right. Remember what you were taught and what I was taught specifically, I'll speak of myself, that things occur, amen, as we are seeing them. That's not the scripture application of it. That is us looking at things and seeing things as we see them, as we observe them. Our focus is that we think a thing happens based upon how we see them. That term is called a pole. Pole. That means that your perspective from your angle of what you see them. The time is a capsule. Time is a creation. And as I started to say, we're taught that we had eternity, past, and now time has come in and dissected eternity on an equal plane, and we're in eternity. It's almost like we're in time, and it's almost like time has suspended, at least put eternity on hold. And theologically, we have been taught you have time past, eternity past, time, which we're in now, and then when time is no more, we move to future eternity. That is not wrong. That is not correct. Time is a capsule, or it is a creation within eternity. Eternity has never gone anywhere. Other term we have used here is manifestation. Mm-hmm. Manifestation is the testimony. It is the displaying of that which God has done. Manifestation is what we see from day to day, what you're going through, what you're experiencing each day is manifestation. The actualization is in the decree. So again, is not in the same. It is not in the seeing, it is in the same. Repeat after me, it is not in the seeing, it is in God's saying. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Now, here again at the Grace Gospel Church, I want to convey two things for those that may be listening or watching via the webcast. We read from the King James, because that is what most of us are familiar with. And we also utilize Greek interlinear. And the reason we do that is because he has the Greek script in there and then the English word under it. And if he is going to divert, it is it becomes apparent when he diverts and he has to put some footnote there. We do that because you cannot explain what thus says the Lord or what the Word of God is actually in explication until you have gotten the correct utterance. And so we go to the Greek and then we exegete. That is, we go through a method here of contextually aligning things, and historically, of course, we're in the grace covenant. And then in the grammar, we go through the grammar, and it's painstaking, but we want to get the actual utterance before we attempt to give the explication or the explanation. You get the wrong utterance, you automatically have the wrong explication or explanation. We can't explain something until you actually know what it is actually saying. And lastly, for those who might inquire, here at the Grace Gospel Church, we utilize the modern Greek pronunciation in lieu of Erasmus. Now, with that said, let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. All right, Elder Nickerson, read first from the King James, and then we'll go to the Greek interlinear. Then there's some explication, and we're going to use bullet points as we move through this document. All right, everyone has Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Amen?
Amen.
All right, read.
Colossians 1, 16.
Mm-hmm.
For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
Okay, now, as he reads from the Greek interlinear, for those of you that have it, if you don't have it, don't worry about it, just follow with King James. There's some similarity, but also there's some contrast that we're going to point out in relationship to a thing being in Christ as opposed to a thing being by Christ. All right? Very slowly, Elder, read that 16th verse from the Greek interlinear.
Because in him...
Stop. Mm-hmm. You see that? Mm-hmm. There's a difference between by him, mm-hmm, which would be remote. We are taught that God made this and made the world, and it's almost like the thinking is God made the world, and then he just sort of stood back. Mm. Said, well, let's see what's going to happen now. That's unnerving.
It is.
Because things are happening out there every day, and we're frightened to death because we don't have confidence that God is in control.
Amen.
Oh, we'll say he's in control. We don't really mean that. You know, it's almost like they said a man was out in the stranded on top of his house during Hurricane Katrina. And he started praying and he was saying, help, Lord. Oh, Lord, help. Time was passing and nobody wasn't getting any rescue. After a while, he said, somebody help.
Oh,
Amen. So, it went from the Lord to somebody. If there's any force out there that can help me, I'll take it. Amen. But all things are in Him. Yeah. And we must understand that.
Right.
So when the storms of life come, and the vicissitudes rage, and we have these encounters, we'll know that all things are in Him. Here, the distinction here, and I'm going to read this from the Greek because there's always somebody that's going to try to challenge us. Amen. It is oti in afto ektisthi ta panda, which is because in Him. Were created. Which brings about the question, first of all, what is creation? What does creation entail? And in this document, what we have attempted to convey is that all things are in Him. From the beginning, according to His saying, according to His word, that a thing comes into existence through God saying it, not when it shows up. And here He gives explication that this entails all things. All right? Read that again, Ellen Nicholson.
Because in Him were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, for the thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities. All things.
Everybody say all things.
Through Him.
Everybody said through Him.
Through Him.
And get this.
And for Him.
And for Him.
For Him. Have been
for
created.
For Him. They have been created. Here we focus on eternality.
Yes.
Rather than time. Time is merely the manifestation. Here, when we look into our glossary of definitions, manifestation is the outward perceptible indication of revelation or materialization. What are we saying here? It is the revealing or the showing or the testifying of a thing, not the thing itself. Nothing exists or nothing as we see it is within itself. It is all for purpose. Everybody said purpose.
Purpose.
I went on the scripture I want us to turn to, and then we're going to go through, hit these bullet points. And as I say, we have 102 messages dealing with this, and you can, the document, and as I said earlier, my desire is that everyone that's a part of this ministry have this document. It's going to be very, very important that you have this document. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Then we'll move into our bullet points. Someone said, this is like a Bible study. But then we're in Bible study. We've been preached to, preached at, preached around. Amen. We've gone through the Red Sea. We've gone around the walls of Jericho. We've gone through the wilderness. We've gone into the lion's den with Daniel. We've gone into the furnace with the Hebrew boys. We've gone through the experience of Jonah and the whale. We've gone through many, many of the the Bible testimony aspects, but yet to get to the meat of life, you've got to get to the grace covenant. Everybody said the grace covenant. And extract out of there the directives and information that's given to you to deal with the things that are around you. Amen. It's not enough to take those biblical illustrations and testimonies and say, well, we're just going to apply them to us. No, we have a direct word of instructions and directives to guide us and to lead us into the essence of knowing the God of our salvation. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, verse 13, everybody turn there.
Yes.
Here, we want to scripturally, we'll be dealing with this in more detail when we come back in the fall and we're dealing with the matrix. This verse of scripture here that gives the essence of what you see and what, according to our mental pole and our perception, the things that we feel like we are perceiving. What you see and what you think you see is not what it is. I'll say it again. What you think you see is not always what it is. What you perceive, what you stay up at night worrying about, many times is not the essence of what it is. All right, Elder, read that first from the King James and then from the Greek.
Ephesians 5:13, King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light.
I see that's not what the same is. Why do we exegete? All right, first we're going to go to the Greek interlinear, and then we're going to exegete, and then we'll have the essence of what it is actually convenient. All right, just follow along. Verse 13 from the interlinear.
But all things being reproved by the light is manifested.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, he sort of got pushed into that also. Here, the essence of this is that as it reads here, and I'm going to just give the translation. Amen. Time is getting away from us. Yep. It said, and all things that are factually shown are exposed naturally is by the light, are made known by the light. Here what he's saying is the thing exists first.
Right, yeah, right. Come on now. That's what he's saying.
Your birth existed before you were formed in the womb of your mother's belly, material wise. What did David say? He said, God knew me what?
Before
I was what? Formed in the womb of my mother's belly. And in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about twin. Esau and Jacob. And the scripture says God loved one and rejected the other one before they were born. That means that they had to exist. Before they were born.
That's right.
For God to love one and reject the other one, they had to exist before they were born. I said, that doesn't make sense. You see, if it is in the Word of God, and you say, well, I can't see that, or I can't perceive that, I can't understand that. Then, so because we don't understand something, we figure that it doesn't exist. No, no, no. It's in the same.
That's right.
Not the same.
That's it. Amen.
It exists, occurred in the essence of eternality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where all things reside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the manifestation is only the showing of what God has said. And that's very important when it comes to your salvation. Which is in the essence of God's saying. Because in the testimony of time, we go through many things that would cast doubt and fear on everything concerning you. And we'll be saved. The things that we don't understand, we tend to what? Fear. But God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He hasn't given us phobia. But sound thinking, and how do we get sound thinking? Through the Word of God. We don't depend upon what we see, what we comprehend, or what we understand. Through our interfacing with things. But it is through the essence of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We see things through the Word.
Mm-hmm.
We know things through God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
We comprehend things through God's Word.
God's Word.
All right. In this document, I want you to turn to page 7. At the bottom of the page, it reads the purpose of this exegetical search of the scriptures. That's all that we have done. The purpose of it is the explaining or explication of the precious truth that the actualization of all things reside in God's divine decree. Your salvation is in God's decree. So that the course of everlasting life is structured by the assignment of divine order arranged to the advancement of the end of God's purpose for each individual as has been ordained. And what are we saying there?
Hallelujah.
Everything touching your life has been ordered in God's decree. And there are no accidents in God. There are many disappointments that you're going to face because we have agendas.
Come on.
We have plans.
Definitely.
And when those plans go awry, and they do, we're disappointed. We're dissatisfied. Sometimes we are bewildered. Sometimes it seems like our lives are turned upside down. Your life is according to that which is God has ordered for His purpose, not for your purpose. See at the top of page 8 there? What is the purpose?
Number.
of us dialoguing. Why have we utilized 5 years going through this actualization, manifestation? Why have we used this dialogue? Why haven't we talked about many of the other things in the Bible that we are more familiar with? Here we state that the engagement of dialogues on the subject of actualization, manifestation, is actuated solely by a desire to benefit the cause of eternal reality. Here's what we're saying. To bring into focus that the essence of existence and life resides in a very secure environment.
Yeah.
Follow me here. In time, in the things that you're going through, everything is shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is changing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everything is vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Vulnerable.
Everything is challenged.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
But we must not view life that way.
Come on here.
We must view as secure. And to view life as being secure, you must look at life in the essence of it being in eternity. I mean, what is this thing? You're born, you come into the world, you're a child, you grow up, you go to school, you're grown up, you finish school, you go to college, you get a trade. At least we hope you do.
Yeah.
And time passes and you get married and have children. At least we hope you do it in that order also. You know what? And I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
You look up one day,
mm-hmm.
No children are grown.
Yes.
And if you stick around just a little longer, you got grandchildren.
That's right.
And I've experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm experiencing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you look up, which I've experienced that, and some of them grown.
Yes. Yes.
Most of you young people, y'all remember when my hair was black. But I guarantee you my hair used to be black. All of it. And time is moving on.
Moving on.
And you know what? One day, people don't want to hear this, but one day it's checkout time.
Check out.
And now you've gone through an emotional life, and what was it all about?
Mm-hmm.
Our lives are more than that. Our lives are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But to understand the essence of in Christ and the essence of the reality of God, and to appreciate the essence of in Christ and God, one must have an awareness of the peaceful, serene, secure essence of eternity, where things don't pass and things don't change. And this is what salvation is about. Now, we went through 5 parts, if you remember. On page 10, look at the contents there. First, we looked at God's ontological existence in itself. It said, Pastor, why do you have all of these terminologies and so forth? This is important to learn. This is as important, I would say, more important than what you're learning as it relates to physicality and secularity.
Right.
And I'm saying learn that too.
Right.
In your books.
Mm-hmm.
But this is more important.
More.
What you're learning in the books deals with what's on the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And what's in space or the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
What's in here deals with the essence of what things really are.
Really are.
Far beyond the essence of a lifespan on earth.
That's right. That's right.
This is the most important thing.
Yes, it is.
The word ontology, you know, ology means study.
Mm-hmm.
You say ontological. We are speaking of existence. So it's the study of existence. But in the realistic sense of spirituality rather than physicality.
Right.
And so what we have said here is that all things are in Christ.
Amen.
As we've just read.
Yes.
All things are in God.
Mm-hmm.
For him.
Mm-hmm.
For his purpose.
Yes.
Now we begin to look at life that way. We see that it's about him. It's about his purpose. It's about God's will.
Hallelujah.
It's about God's plan.
Yes, indeed.
We function and live according to God's purpose. Our lives are about Christ.
Amen. Yes. Thank
you. Next, we move to a section that says the existence of everything was initialized and actualized in eternity by God's decree. Again, God said it, it came into existence, and what we see, quote, from day to day is God revealing to us in increments.
Amen. Amen.
Then we move to a section that says all possibilities were actualized in God's eternal decree. What is possible? What is possible? We pray for things. We hope for things. We look for things. Sometimes they come. Sometimes they don't. What's the difference? If they're in God's decree, it cannot manifest unless it's decreed. In other words, that thing ain't going to happen. I'm just bringing it down. It ain't going to happen unless God has said it. On the other hand, if God didn't say it, it can't happen. So when you pray, your prayer is always what? Lord, your will is done. And I'm happy and I'm satisfied. Whether my want and my wishes and my goals align with his will or not. It's all about him. Everybody says all about him. Next, in part one, we move to a section called the scripturally cognitive aspects of probability. So, Pastor, just follow here. Scripturally recognizing what probabilities are about. What's probable? What's probably going to happen? What's probably not going to happen? You know, probably, so what about this? Well, probably, it's all tied back to God.
Amen.
It's not about us.
Amen.
It's all about him.
All about him.
Then we move to part two. Remember, I'm just giving the epilogue or the summary of what we have gone through in ministering in detail for the last 5 years. We pose a question, is the locale of God's creative acts in eternity, the beginning of time, or in the sphere of time? In other words, where does a thing actually occur? Here we pose a question. What's this year, 2011? Where were you in 1811?
In Christ.
So Wasn't born yet. That's true. But where were you? So, well, I didn't exist. Yes, you did.
Yes, you did. Glory.
Your existence, or the locale, or the location of your existence, is in God's Word. Remember, we just spoke all things created in Him. When were they created? In eternity. All things created in eternity, not in time. Then we move to a section called God's eternal plan and purpose concerning all things were actualized by His decree in eternity and manifested in the time capsule, which we have conveyed to you how things actually go. We are on a certain date at a certain time in manifestation, and most of us, you know, we can't see any further than that. We think that's all life entails. And this is why when things don't come out like we plan and we're disappointed, we think that's all it's about. You read about somebody get fired from a job all the time on the news. And they go get a gun and shoot up the place because they can't see any further than that particular increment. But God has given us comprehension. Many things that we go through in manifestation, we would do well to know that the essence of it is according to what God has already worked out.
Already.
You know, Sister Kim, you lay at night and you're worrying about things all night long. And that thing is already taken care of. It's already done.
Yes.
Oh, it may not come out the way you want it.
Come on here.
But I guarantee you it's the way God wants it.
Amen.
Because that's the way He has decreed it. For His purpose. Everybody said purpose. Then we move to a section called the capsule of time, renders creation exclusively in eternity. Now, what are we saying here? When we look at the capsule of time, we look at time, we look at the passing of time, we look at the things that come and go, and so forth and so on. In perspective, they are in a capsule, are a created entity for expressing what is. So nothing is within itself. We look at a thing and we think that that thing is within itself. It is not. That's not what the scriptures are teaching us. Then we move to a section called the timelessness of God. God is timeless. Day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. God is not locked into any increment of time. But neither are we.
All right.
Our minds, our conscious, is moving through, which we will deal with in the fall, a matrix of things that are outlaid. And our conscience is moving through. But these are all things that are set in place for purpose.
Yeah.
Then that brings us to the next thing that we convey. That is the factual impact of daily decisions and choices. We make daily decisions and choices. God does not make daily decisions and choices. Everything that is already is.
Oh, glory. Yes.
Everything that will be already is.
Oh, man. That's right. Glory to God.
It already is.
Already. Thank God.
Everything that will be already is. And so we do not determine anything that happens. We don't influence it. It's like we're acting out on a stage. Mm-hmm. Those things that God have already said. And the essence of its being and its moving and its action is where? It's in the decree. It's already there. I went up to the corner and I said, let's see, well, should I go left or go right? Well, I go left. I went left with 2 blocks. Somebody came to the intersection. Boom! If I had just gone right, it wouldn't have happened. No, you don't. Don't beat yourself up. There's only one way you could have turned.
Oh, only one. Mm-hmm.
Whatever you did was the only thing you could have done. There are no contingencies in God. Because nothing is happening as it is transpiring before your eyes. It's all in the decree of God. Then we move to section 3. Conjoining faith to free will inevitably induces futility. I'm going to take time and go through this a little bit here. We define faith and free will. We define faith as some unbridled force, something out there. You know, we said things just happen.
Yeah.
Nothing just happens. Then we say free will. We can choose what happens. It's almost like we're saying God made the universe and then turned it over to us as to what happens. He relinquished control. Or maybe he never had control. Maybe he designed something he couldn't handle. And then the theologians want to get upset with the process theology and open theology. That says that God is not in control and he's trying to get the helm back on things. And you know, that's the scariest thing. Because if a thing happens, what gives us more security? That God had a purpose or that he doesn't have control? I mean, what gives you more confidence? The bandit goes into the university and he shoots up the place, killed 30-some people. And the students wanted answers. Some of our top theologians went into that Virginia State campus. And they said, this isn't Berkeley. We don't have pop parties here. We're in the Bible Belt. Why here? Unfortunately, the theologian said, don't blame God. That's the most unfortunate answer you can give. And you say, don't blame God. That's the first thing you don't understand, sovereignty. Everybody says sovereignty. That's God's absolute right to express and bring about that which pleases him according to his purpose. So when you put faith, that is some unbridled force, a free will, that is you driving the car, a guide in the boat, a pilot in the ship or the airplane. I mean, that would be like somebody put me in the pilot seat of a 747. In fact, if they did that, I'd say, I wake up, let me put it this way. I wake up in the pilot seat, 35,000 feet up in the air. And I'm supposed to pilot the ship. This is how life is thrust upon us. No wonder God's people are basket cases. What we're taught is that we guide the ship and we pilot the ship with God's help. God helped me to help myself. And of course, I think it was John Wesley, and I apologize to him. Of course, he's gone, but I still apologize to him if I don't call the right person. But one theologian, God helped those that what? That helped themselves. You know, that is one of the most ridiculous things that one could fathom in their mind. God helped those that helped themselves. If I could help myself, I wouldn't need God.
Faith,
conjoining faith to free will inevitably induces futility. It's a sham. Mm-hmm. Many of the things that we have been taught in our ministries. Five ways to do this and do that and the other. And you know what? Someone might try that and it works. Mm-hmm. But you know what? What's good for the goose is not good for the gander. Mm-hmm. What's good for the goose may kill the gander. Because it's all according to purpose. That same thing that you might try may work out for someone else and may up in you. No, it's in the essence of Him. Life is about Him. Our focus is about God. The essence of who we are is in Christ. Young people going to school, go out and get whatever that is there, but you always keep that thing in perspective. Life is about Christ. Everybody say life is about Christ. Then in part three, we moved to a section where we did a scripture analysis of human limitations as opposed to human perceptions of how things work. What we're saying there is we looked at things and how they perceived the work and whether what we did, how what we did or what we do affect what happens. Let's go to page 80. I'm just about finished. Last paragraph there. It reads, scripture documentation of human limitations is what? 100%. You don't determine nothing. You don't cause anything. Oh, yeah, as an instrument in the process of it. But in the origination of a thing, the causation of a thing, the impetus of a thing goes beyond humanity. So the thing that's happening is according to God's will. Next, we went in part four, and we did viewing the temporary worldly. Doing the temporary worldly from the eternal heavenly.
Amen.
The temporary worldly. From the eternal heavenly. Viewing the temporary worldly. What we're saying there is for you to look down on life instead of around in life. How do we look down on life? We view life through the scriptures. We view them through the essence of all things residing in Christ. We view things as all being purposed in Christ. We view things as being all about Him and not about us. Oh, we've been taught that we're like at the nucleus, and God is somewhere on the peripheral. And He's feeding things into us, I guess, according to how much we please or displease Him. And young people, that's going to be important. You're going to face some things in life. You know, you out, those of you that are going away to college, you're out from under your parents' roof where they have taken care of everything and dealt with everything. Now you out there, you got to deal with some of these things yourself. You got to deal with some of these things yourself. But you know what? If you're looking down to the Word of God, if you have trust in Him, life won't be as difficult as if you're struggling thinking that you're really on your own. Now, let me say this. There were four messages that we did pull out. They're called Eternally Confirmed Election, where we dealt with the doctrine of election. There are four messages for those that are watching. They're separate. They're called Eternally Confirmed Election, where we dealt with that your choice in God is confirmed through His Word. Why is that important? That's important because when we move to the last part, which is part five, everybody turn to page 117. See that temporary and eternal things compared? And we spent a lot of time there, and mostly talking about salvation. And this is where we will end today. Now, why have we spent so much time comparing eternal things with temporary things? Because the eternal thing is the real deal.
That's right.
The temporary thing is passed away.
Amen.
Your salvation is the real deal. God saved you in eternity.
Amen.
That is eternal. That is spiritual. That is exempt from what is happening temporarily in time. If you're saved, an earthquake can't shake it. If you're saved in eternity, and the winds, the strong winds, cannot blow it down in time. If you are saved, you are secure. And the ills of life cannot alter it. Men of God's people this morning, they're shaky because they're shaky concerning salvation, because they do not realize that salvation is not in time, it is in eternity. Let's look at the top of page 118. 5 minutes, I'm down. 118. Everybody turn now. Temporal physicality prophetically manifests, follow this, troubles, distresses, perplexities, persecutions, afflictions, and sorrows. As such, a characterized of the prime environment. If God is such a great God, and I hear this all the time, if He's such a good and kind God, why does He allow starvation? Why does He allow the earthquakes to come and kill thousands of millions, hundreds of thousands, the tsunamis? Why does He allow wars? And why? Our problem is we are not separated eternal and temporal things.
That's it.
And we have confused the environment. We have confused the sinfully depraved environment in inspecting it to act like it is serene. When we look at the environment, when we look at time, when we look at the poverty, when we look at the world, our thought is that we can do something to make things peaceful. That's not what the Word of God is teaching us.
Oh,
there will be peace. But it is not in the temporal aspect. It's in the eternal. Time will pass away. Time will come to a conclusion. You know, as we went through the gamut of being born and going through, and then one day you're old and one day you're out of here. Oh, the ministry, they don't want to preach that. They say that's not encouraging. In other words, let's not deal with reality because we don't want to frighten the people. Let's not deal with the essence of life in the time capsule. Let's paint a rosy picture. Let's give an illusion. Well, my friend, an illusion is a lie. There is something beautiful. There is something glorious. And so, scripturally, we have compared that which is eternal. That's where the peace is. That's where the joy is. Oh, we will get our moments. A peace and a moment of joy. But change is ever before us. We have our moments of respite, a rest. But in time, there's no rest for the weary. Order. So we're expecting something in a terrain that's not there. Amen. Someone said life is hard. Well, what life are you talking about? If you're talking about that which is temporal, if you're talking about that which is around you, that's not life. What is life? Life is what's in Christ. You ever wonder the last book in the Bible? Revelation? What happens in Revelation? Everything is destroyed. And then it starts new. Yeah, but you ever thought about that? That means that everything that you're doing, everything that you're involved in, comes to an end.
Sure does.
But there is an exchange. And what follows that in manifestation is joy and peace and comfort forever. You won't get that here. But it does reside. There's peace. When I was growing up, my brother, older brother Albert, he's here today, thank God, he can remember the songs the saints used to sing. There is more love somewhere. There's more love somewhere. I'm going to keep on till I find it. There's more love somewhere. There's more joy somewhere.
It sure is.
Amen.
No, the saints used to sing that.
Yeah.
At least they recognized that it wasn't here.
That's right. Amen. 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 Thank God. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. Amen. Thank God. Yeah.
There's joy. There's peace. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest fruit, but holy, can you say holy? Completely lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, can you say on Christ? Can you say on Christ? Until you understand that it's in Him, you're going to continue to wonder. But thank God, it's in Him. And this brings to conclusion, Volume 1. Take that document, and for those that are watching, go through it and study it. Go into those scriptures, and you will see the essence of what life is. It's all about. God bless you.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.